Hello, this is Daniel, and I'm coming to you on Sunday morning, March 29th at Meridian Church of God in Indianapolis. You may be able to hear the birds chirping in the background. Hopefully you enjoy that. Recently, my wife, Jenny, reminded me that I used to tell a story, and she asked me to tell it again to my kids. This seemed like a good time to share it with you. Once upon a time, there was a poor farmer who had a valuable horse. Several times, the farmer was offered a lot of money to sell his horse, but he always refused to sell. And one day, it ran away. When the farmer's friend found out that the horse went missing, he said to the farmer, "You could have sold your horse and had plenty, but you just couldn't part with your beloved horse. Now it's gone, and you have nothing. This is bad." The farmer shrugged his shoulders and said, "It could be bad, could be good." His friend went away shaking his head at the crazy old farmer. How could it be good that his friend had lost his prized horse? And then several weeks later, the horse returned. And not only did it return, but it brought a dozen horses with it. Now it looked like the farmer was no longer poor. He would be able to keep some of the horses, sell some of them, and have a lot of money. The farmer's friend heard the news and said to the farmer, "When you lost your horse and said it could be good, I thought you were crazy, but you were right. Now, you have a lot more than you did before you lost your horse." The farmer shrugged his shoulders and said, "Could be good, it could be bad." His friend went away once again shaking his head at the crazy old farmer thinking, "How could this be bad?" Well, the new horses were wild and needed to be trained. And that task fell primarily to the farmer's only son. During the training, a wild stallion injured the son so severely that he would spend the rest of his life unable to walk. Once again, the friend came back and said to the farmer, "It looks like you were right again. I never could have imagined that when your son was injured, that it could be good. And now you are the only one in the village who has a son left." Sometimes it's hard to see if circumstances are good or bad. Last week, Meridian had a staff meeting over the internet where Pastor Brandon challenged us to translate these times well. Now, obviously, we don't want to be blind to the concerns or suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic. We also don't want to merely react in a way that is unhelpful. In her book, 12 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do, author Amy Morin writes about translating or perspective using the illustration of a fender bender at a grocery store. One person says, "Just what I needed. Why do these things always happen to me?" The other driver says, "Wow, we were lucky that no one was hurt. That could have been so much worse." Two different people can be at the same place, experience the same thing, and have a totally different perspective about it. They interpret events differently. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the importance of how we see the world. He called the eye the lamp of the body and said that the way that we see could be healthy and good or it could be bad. According to Jesus, we don't see the world the way that it is. We see the world the way that we are. Something happens, we experience it, and then we translate it. Today, we're going to talk about how we see the world. Before we do, I want to say that if you're not a Christian, I'm glad that you are listening. I want you to know that we as a church respect you and your views, and we hope that what you hear from us is helpful to you in some way. Now let's get back to the main story. A doctor by the name of Luke in the first century wrote a book called Acts that tells the story of the early days of the church. After a careful investigation of the facts and interviews with witnesses, Luke wrote that after Jesus ascended into heaven, in the early years of the church, they stayed primarily centered in Jerusalem. They faced some opposition from the establishment there, but miracles were happening and the church was growing. Despite some opposition and problems, things seemed mostly good. And then there was a turning point. A beloved leader in the church named Stephen was killed because of his faith in Christ. And this is how Luke describes the aftermath in Acts 8, 1-3. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Stephen died a brutal death. People were being arrested and dying for no good reason. The situation was scary, and the future seemed bleak. If we stopped the story here, most of us would say, "This is bad." And Luke might shrug his shoulders and say, "Could be bad, it could be good." And then continue with the story. Listen to this, what he says next. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And it doesn't say it in this verse, but it does say this throughout the rest of the book of Acts. As the early Christians persecuted and were scattered, the good news spread. Instead of the church getting smaller and subtracting, the growth of the church accelerated rapidly. As it spread, much good was done, and many people were helped. After the September 11th attacks in the United States, children's TV legend Mr. Rogers was very concerned about children being exposed to all the bad news of the day on television. And so he came out of retirement to speak directly to children. One of the things he said was, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping.'" Back to the early church. It's interesting that some of Jesus' final words to the disciples were to go and make disciples of all nations. Listen to how Luke records Jesus' final words to the disciples in Acts 1:8. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after these instructions that Jesus gave his disciples, the early followers of Jesus responded by making disciples in Jerusalem. Now, Luke interpreted the persecution against the church as an opportunity that forced the church to spread the good news to Judea and Samaria. It doesn't seem that it would have been near as quick. It would have been much slower, that spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends, had it not been for what seemed really bad at the time. There is a story about a man who survived a plane crash and was stranded by himself on an island. He built a little hut and stored all of his possessions in them. He tried hard to keep a positive attitude, and every day he prayed to be rescued. One day, after he returned to his little hut, after gathering food, he saw it burning down. He tried to put the fire out, but it was too late. He lost everything he had. That night, he cried himself to sleep, but he awoke early the next morning by the sound of a ship approaching. Somehow his prayers had been answered. So he asked the captain how he had found him. And the captain replied, "We saw your smoke signal last night." Now the death of Stephen was painful to the early church. But the result was not just that they lost Stephen. The result was that thousands of more people were helped. Dr. Luke and the early church went to great lengths to try to heal people and relieve the suffering of others. But even so, the way that they saw it was that death is not what it looks like to us. They had a different perspective. They interpreted it differently. They believed that their loss of Stephen was actually Stephen's gain. Because the way that they saw it, Stephen didn't merely die. Stephen went to be with Jesus in paradise. This is how they interpreted death. Now today, if you sense the Spirit of God calling you to follow, I invite you to pray with me. God, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe with my heart that you raised him from the dead. I trust you to save me from whatever I need saved from. In Jesus' name, amen. After Stephen died, most of the disciples scattered, but not all of them did. One of the ones who stayed in Jerusalem and was a leader at the church there was Jesus' brother, who was named James. We have one of the letters that James wrote that is still preserved in the New Testament. Listen to how he starts. "James, identifying himself, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is who it's to. to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, oftentimes how you start a letter sets the tone. Listen to how James set the tone with the early Christians who were scattered in James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James challenged those who were scattered to see that their suffering could produce something good. James challenged them to interpret the trials as opportunities to grow and become complete. So let's pay attention to how we are interpreting. Let's look beyond obstacles and find opportunities. Let's apply this by looking to Christ and asking Him to give us a good and healthy perspective right now. And as always, especially in this crisis, let's look to be the helpers who spread hope as we go. These times could be bad, but they could be good. According to one surprising poll, 60% of Londoners who survived Germany's Blitzkrieg in World War II, the bombing that was devastating and decimated buildings and houses, as they remembered that, 60% remembered it as the happiest time of their lives. Imagine if instead of just waiting for this to end and for us to get on with our lives, get them back, imagine if we find new opportunities in the present. Imagine if instead of just getting through this, we look to be the helpers. If we interpret these times well, like the people of Acts and the people of London, who knows? We just might end up being surprised by joy. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we believe that even when life is hard, you are good. During this crisis, we can see how we are not as strong as we think we are. We don't have as much control as we thought we did. Unforeseen circumstances can come out of nowhere and change everything in a hurry. You have reminded those of us who had planned to go to this or that city, carry on business and make money, that we don't really know what will happen tomorrow. As people whose lives are fragile and temporary, we seek you to comfort us. Help us to be people of faith in uncertain times. Help us to be able to trust that your will is good, even when we don't understand or when everything seems bad. Remind us that there is always hope and that there might be something good happening that we just can't see yet. Strengthen our faith. Help us to have eyes that are good and that are looking to be helpers. Use us to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.